What I see in the stone of Shelyeth, I am a child. A frightened child. Summon the presence of the stone. Must I beg you, my lord?
No, said the tall master, but he frowned and turned from the older man. Then stretching wide his arms in the great gesture that begins the spells of his art, he raised his head and spoke the syllables of invocation. As he spoke, a light grew within the stone of Shelyeth. The room darkened about it. Shadows gathered. When the shadows were deep and the stone was very bright, he brought his hands together, lifted the crystal before his face, and looked into its radiance. He was silent some while, and then spoke.
I see the fountains of Shelyeth, he said softly. The pools and basins and the waterfalls, the silver-curtained, dripping caves where ferns grow in banks of moss, the rippled sands, the leaping up of the waters and the running of them, the outwelling of deep springs from earth, the mystery and sweetness of the source, the spring.
He fell silent again, and stood so for a time, his face pale as silver in the light of the stone. Then he cried aloud wordlessly, and dropping the crystal with a crash, fell to his knees, his face hidden in his hands. There were no shadows. Summer sunlight filled the jumbled room. The great stone lay beneath a table in the dust and litter, unharmed. The summoner reached out blindly, catching at the other man's hand like a child. He drew a deep breath. At last he got up, leaning a little on the changer, and said with unsteady lips and some attempt to smile,
I will not take your dares again, my lord.
What saw you, Thorion?
I saw the fountains. I saw them sink down, and the streams run dry, and the lips of the springs of water draw back. And underneath all was black and dry.
You saw the sea before the making, but I saw the...
What comes after? I saw the unmaking.
He wet his lips.
I wish that the Archmage were here, he said.
I wish that we were there with him.
Where? There is none that can find him now.
The summoner looked up at the windows that showed the blue, untroubled sky.
No sending can come to him, no summoning reach him. He is there, where you saw an empty sea. He is coming to the place where the springs run dry. He is where our arts do not avail. Yet maybe even now there are spells that might reach to him. Some of those in the lore of Palm,
but those are spells whereby the dead are brought among the living.
Some bring the living among the dead.
You do not think him dead.
I think he goes toward death and is drawn toward it, and so are we all. Our power is going from us, and our strength, and our hope, and luck. The springs are running dry.
The changer gazed at him a while with a troubled face.
Do not seek to send to him, Thorion, he said at last. He knew what he sought long before we knew it. To him the world is even as this stone of Shelyeth. He looks and sees what is and what must be. We cannot help him. The great spells have grown very perilous, and of all there is most danger in the lore of which you spoke. We must stand fast as he bade us, and look to the walls of Roke and the remembering of the names.
Aye, said the summoner. But I must go and think on this. And he left the tower room, walking somewhat stiffly and holding his noble, dark head high. In the morning the changer sought him. Entering his room after vain knocking, he found him stretched asprawl on the stone floor, as if he had been hurled backward by a heavy blow. His arms were flung wide as if in the gesture of invocation, but his hands were cold, and his open eyes saw nothing. Though the changer knelt by him and called him with a mage's authority, saying his name, Thorion, thrice over, yet he lay still. He was not dead, but there was in him only so much life as kept his heart beating very slowly, and a little breath in his lungs. The changer took his hands and, holding them, whispered, O Thorion, I forced you to look into the stone. This is my doing. Then going hastily from the room, he said aloud to those he met, masters and students, The enemy has reached among us, into Roke, the well-defended, and has stricken our strength at its heart. Though he was a gentle man, he looked so fey and cold that those who saw him feared him. Look to the master summoner, he said. Though who will summon back his spirit, since he, the master of his art, is gone? He went toward his own chamber, and they all drew back to let him pass. The master healer was sent for. He had them lay Thorion the summoner a bed and cover him warmly. But he brewed no herb of healing, nor did he sing any of the chants that aid the sick body or the troubled mind. One of his pupils was with him, a young boy not yet made sorcerer, but promising in the arts of healing, and he asked, Master, is there nothing to be done for him? Not on this side of the wall, said the master healer.